This is astronaut Scott Kelly, and you're listening to the Mike Sapho Podcast.
Greetings, Captain.
Hey, how are you?
Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
How was Europe?
Good.
I'm going to be honest with you, Captain. When you agreed to come on my podcast after me harassing you for months, I was just thinking of cool astronaut and outer space questions. Then I read your book, Endurance, My Year in Space, A Lifetime of Discovery, and I'm more intrigued by your civilian life. Did you get that a lot from people who read your book?
You know, sometimes. I think my story is, I think, relatable to people. Because, you know, I was this kind of average, maybe even below average student, and, you know, grew up from a working class family in New Jersey and became an astronaut. I think that's sometimes more relatable than the kid that saw Neil Armstrong land on the moon when he was 5 or 6 years old and then got straight A's from that moment on and went on to fly in space.
Well, I love that because most children, like, they'll pinpoint Neil Armstrong walking on the moon as their pivotal moment, why they wanted to become astronauts. But yours was a book, The Right Stuff. Can you explain why that put you on a great path to become an astronaut?
Well, you know, as a kid, I was interested in the space program, but it was kind of in a very abstract way because I was such a poor student and couldn't pay attention. It was like, this is not something that I ever thought would be possible. And it wasn't until I was 18 years old and my first year of college, still struggling in school with schoolwork, that I read the book, The Right Stuff, and found it very relatable. Felt like I had, traits in common with these guys. They were all guys at the time, but the guys that were the, fighter pilots that later became test pilots and, later went on to become the original Mercury and Gemini and Apollo astronauts. And I thought, I feel like, I recognize who these guys are and I can relate to them, except I am not a good student. And I felt that if I could just fix that, then maybe I'd have a chance to go on and fly airplanes in the Navy. If not the Navy, the Air Force, maybe. maybe even a test pilot and an astronaut someday. Possibly. Kind of a long shot, but I thought it was possible.
You know what I love, Scott? I love that, you grew up, like you said, blue collar, West Orange, New Jersey. Your parents were police officers. Struggled in school. You applied to the wrong college. Now, in West Orange, there's a school named after you and your brother. There's one. Does that blow your mind? And also, the unconventional route you took, like you weren't the best student. Does that inspire a lot of kids who are like, wow, maybe I wasn't on the best path, but now I can always change it?
Well, having your name on a school is humbling and a lot of responsibility. Usually, not sure exactly why, but usually that's reserved for people that have already died. I think that's because they don't want to put somebody's name on the school and then have to take it off later if he does something wrong. I think my story, inspires people because, not everyone's perfect. And to see someone who's, far from perfect and kind of consider myself a, a below average guy doing a slightly above average job, that, it's a good lesson to people that if they, work really hard and, have a plan and, never give up, they can achieve great things. And I think it's a, a relatable story.
Now, I want to fast forward a little bit to your life in space. Naively, and like most civilians do, I didn't realize how much work you do on the shuttle. Now, I'm aware no days are the same, but can you just give me a quick breakdown of like one day in space from waking up to going to sleep, all the stuff you have to do?
Yeah, so you're really talking about the space station. Mm-hmm. The space shuttle is what we flew to and from space and hasn't flown since 2011. Space shuttle mission, I think, is a lot of what people might expect because you're in space for a short period of time. You have a very specific objectives. But on the space station, when you're living there for a long time, you some people might think maybe it's just about being up there and you don't have a lot of work to do, but I can guarantee you there is a lot of stuff going on, whether it's science, repairing the hardware, just taking care of what you need to take care of to live and work in space for a long period of time. But a typical day, we're on Greenwich time. So, 6 hours ahead generally of the U.S. East Coast, 5-6 hours. And I would generally get up about 6:30 in the morning, but basically about 30 minutes before I had to do something. It's kind of always my M.O., even at about that, right? M.O.?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
My M.O. in space. And on Earth. I have to do something. Wake up 30 minutes prior, even if it's travel out of town. But I'd get up about 30 minutes before the first activity. And, sometimes in the morning you have, science samples, data collection that you have to do because they want you to do it right when you get up. But then a lot of the, activities are early in the morning. It's kind of what you do when you're at home. You brush your teeth, you wash your face. No shower, unfortunately, but you get ready for work, you have breakfast. And then the day kind of starts with a conference with all the flight control centers around the world. The Johnson Space Center, Houston, is the NASA one. There's another U.S. control center in Huntsville, Alabama, that controls the science. We talk to the Russians in Moscow, the Japanese in Scuba, Japan, or Europeans in Munich. And, that lasts probably about 10 or 15 minutes, and they talk about, the plan of the day and if we have any questions. And then the rest of the day is broken up into different activities, and you're scheduled all day long. And sometimes those activities are 5 minutes long. It might be just turning on an experiment. Sometimes the experiment is much more extensive, and you're more like a scientist. We exercise a lot, 2.5 hours a day, to prevent the negative things that happen to us in space from happening, or at least slow them down a little bit. We spend a lot of time repairing the hardware that breaks, because when you're in space, you and your crewmates, you're not only the scientist or the engineer, but you're you're the IT person, you're the electrician, you're the plumber, you're the doctor, the dentist, the janitor. I mean, you got to do everything.
You also dissecting mice up there?
Yeah, we had some mice that we worked with. They, you really got to hand it to those guys. They sacrifice a lot for us, and they're space travelers as well, and it's interesting to see how they respond to the environment in a very similar way that people do, which is at first they're like sick and disoriented, and then later the little mice are flying more like, little eagles around their habitat.
Now, Captain, I know I only have you for like 7 or 8 minutes. I know you squeezed me in, and I'm really appreciative of it. And my podcast is usually like a long-form hangout conversation. I don't want to bore you, so I'm going to hit you with a few quick, hopefully not generic questions. You ready?
I am ready.
What does space smell like? Can you describe it?
Yeah, so when people say that, generally they're talking about the volume of air that was previously exposed to space or in a vacuum, like when you have a docking of a spacecraft, you have the interface between the two vehicles, or when you've done a spacewalk. And, everyone senses it a little bit differently. Most people, I'm of the opinion, as, a large majority of the folks that have flown to space, is it kind of smells like burning metal, maybe a lot like the smell of welding,
mm-hmm.
or like a sprinkler on the 4th of July. Some people describe it more of a sweet, like smell, like a sweet charred meat smell. I think it smells more metal-like.
How about this? I know this from reading the book. What's the most beautiful sight on Earth that you saw from up there?
The whole planet is very beautiful. Just seeing Earth from space, without political borders, you don't see countries
mm-hmm.
during the day. At night you can see political borders with the light, but during the day you see continents, you don't see countries. But if you had to choose one specific spot, I always say the Bahamas. I mean, it's incredibly expansive, blue, varying blue colors that are absolutely breathtaking. And I would always, when we had someone who had never been in space before, I would always want to watch their reaction when they saw the Bahamas for the first time.
I want to ask you one question that deals with your wife, not your partner anymore. I saw on Instagram you got married. Congratulations. This amazing woman put flowers on your mother's grave while you were in space. So you can never, never let her go. And, you know, Scott, you and I are boys.
Yeah.
You and I are boys now. Some consider us best friends. You're home. I want to know what your first fight was about with her and how long home till you had your argument.
My first fight?
Yeah, your first argument with her.
When I got home?
Yeah, you're back from space.
For a year?
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't remember. But I do know that she was kind of, after a couple of weeks or so, she was kind of gotten pissed off at me because I was like leaving crap all over the place. But I came home and I was a little bit of a mess, like messy mess.
Yeah. I love the story because you have a twin brother who's also an astronaut. Can you tell the gorilla story? Because I love that. It shows how much, one, your sense of humor, and two, about how close you are with your brother. Can you tell the gorilla story?
Yeah, you know, a few months maybe into my my flight, my brother, we have a phone on the space station, and it's kind of like a Skype phone, you know, like a voice over IP thing. My brother says, hey, I'm sending you a gorilla suit. Because people can send you, like, care packages.
Okay.
He says, hey, I'm sending you a gorilla suit. I'm like, why? And he goes, why not? He says, because there's never been a gorilla in space. Everyone loves a gorilla. So he sent me a gorilla suit. And then the SpaceX vehicle that it was on exploded. And we were all sad. And then I talked to him a couple of days later, and he says, I'm sending you another gorilla suit. So he got on Amazon, ordered another gorilla suit, and sent it up to me. And, you know, some people are critical of that. They're like, oh, you know, NASA's wasting money sending up something stupid like that. Well, we also send up a lot of, you know, packing material and foam. So it kind of replaces that mass of stuff that's not useful anyway, except for it's packing material and foam to protect the other hardware. It took a long time for it to show up, for the second gorilla suit to show up. But when it did, man, it was fun. One of my crewmates, this guy Kim Cobra, he didn't even know I had a gorilla suit, and I put it on and I hid in his crew quarters, which is like our little bedroom. It's kind of the size of a phone booth. Mm-hmm. I hid in there, and when he came and opened up the door, I burst out at him. This gorilla. In hindsight, I was thinking I'm lucky I didn't cause him to have a heart attack. Would have been bad.
You did a Twitter question and answer from space. President Obama wrote to you, and then you get trolled by Buzz Aldrin.
Let's not talk about that.
All right, you got it. When you met President Obama,
like Buzz is an awesome guy.
Oh, he's great. He's hilarious on Twitter too. When you met President Obama, what's the first thing he asked you when you met him in person?
You know, I met him a few times. I don't know. I met him before he was president, like the night before he was inaugurated the first time. So I don't remember. But when I saw him after this flight, I'm trying to think what he said. I think he was just like, you know, congratulations. You know, my big takeaway from the conversation is he clearly wanted to know, you know, from my perspective, from space, you know, how's the Earth doing? He was really, you know, concerned with the planet and what we're doing with it and what my thoughts were and if there's, you know, anything from space as a, you know, a subjective observer, I think mostly in this case, you know, what I thought about, you know, the environment and the planet. And, you know, he was genuinely interested and concerned.
Did you ever take home any memorabilia or anything from space?
You mean like steal something?
Yeah, maybe without permission or authority to do so.
No, he actually, you're a cop, right? I don't want to get myself in trouble. No, you know, we're allowed to bring personal items. Mm-hmm. And I've flown in space 4 times, so 2 long flights. So I had the opportunity to fly a lot of little trinkets and stuff. You know, mostly what you fly are, you know, like a banner from a college, or, you know, sometimes you'll fly some kind of, you know, piece of jewelry for people that is meaningful to them. Flew some like little NASA pins and American flags, things like that. Kind of the stuff that you would expect.
Of course.
Somebody to bring.
And we're going to wrap it up
except my brother, you know, who's also an astronaut. Mm-hmm. He would just send me like random goofy stuff, like gorilla suits and you know, a little palm tree that says "Welcome to Miami Beach." I don't know, weird things. I think just to harass me.
One of my little goals in life is to visit every country in the world. I'm in the mid 70s, I believe. I've attended thousands and thousands of sporting events. I need a favor from you. You're going to make some calls to me, because the way you described it, attending a shuttle launch is one of the most jaw-dropping events of your life. Can you even describe what one is when you're there? Is it just the best thing you've ever seen?
Space shuttle launch?
Yeah, like a launch. I want to go to a launch.
Like the space shuttle got retired in 2011, so you're a little late for that.
Well, what can you hook me up with?
What can I hook you up with? I don't know. I don't work for NASA anymore, but I can look into it. You know, we're going to have people hopefully soon, you know, this year, flying on a commercial rocket from the Kennedy Space Center from U.S. soil. So I'll see what I can do. But I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You've actually traveled to more countries than I have. I think I just went over 50.
Okay.
But what is your, you know, what are your top places to visit in the world?
I'm going to say Japan, because I just love the food, the beauty, and I love the organization. It'll be 3 o'clock in the morning on a deserted street. No one's jaywalking.
Yeah.
You know, my buddy left his cell phone on the train. 6 hours later, we go to the police station and they had it there for you. So Japan fascinated me. I love that place. What else would be number two? You know, I just got back from Kuwait last week, and that was just beautiful. And the people, I try to like meet people and just talk to people. I travel a lot alone.
Yeah,
so I would say Japan and Kuwait. And then the islands in the Philippines were just the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Yeah. Wow. That's, you know, I love Japan as well. Never been to Kuwait. Spent a lot of time in the Middle East. I was just in Israel a few days ago. Wow, all the countries. Isn't there like, how many of them are there? Like 160 or something?
193. Yes, sir.
Man, you better get to work.
I'm trying. I'm podcasting. I'm policing. I'm traveling. Now, Scott, I'm going to be honest. We're going to wrap it up with this. We can edit this part out. I'm going to ask you, it's a slightly inappropriate question. Like I said, I don't do anything controversial, so we can edit this out.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask something?
You can ask me anything.
Okay, here we go. You're on the, you know, you're in space for almost a year. You're there. There was a female there earlier. I don't believe, and you had a girlfriend, a partner, so there was no sex in space. Do you pleasure or release while you're up there?
Who is this?
No, I have to know. Everyone wants to know that. You know that, Captain.
Wait, I don't really understand your question. You're going to have to go into some more detail.
You are the greatest. Listen, for you to call in and give me 20, 25 minutes of your time is unbelievable. Your book, Endurance, and I'll tell you, it wasn't just endurance in space. It was enduring, you know, all the life's up and downs, overcoming stuff, and you're really an inspiration. I'm going to send you your book because I want you to sign it for me, and I can't thank you enough for coming on, man. This was amazing, Captain.
Yeah. And you can call me Scott, and hey, great talking to you.
Thank you.
And Scott, keep in touch.
Sir, thank you so much. I'll keep in touch with you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you, Mike.
Thanks, brother.